As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Thursday, January the 7th, 2010. I'm just going to say 2010, why not? 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got news, sometimes good, sometimes not so good, but I have a little bit of news for you today. Definitely we have hard facts. And as you know, the solution is going to remain the same. It's going to be up to you, and it's going to be up to me to do something about this mess we find ourselves in. Anyway, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time as we all scratch our heads trying to figure out whatever happened to that pursuit of happiness. And just what is it, anyway? Anyway, you're at the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Can everyone spell that word, freedom? Well, let's write it up in the sky in letters 10 feet tall and something like that. Anyway, Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. And to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call in at 512-904-8014 to join me live on air and from around America and around the world. You can call in toll free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are always welcome when our phone boxes are working. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. Got a bunch of very interesting emails this morning and last evening. Really interesting stuff to look at. I thank you all for keeping me informed on the things that are important to you. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo, Little Jerkwater, Missouri, Exeter, Mo, 65647. A big shout out again, as we always do in the mornings here, to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your local listening audiences. In 2010, let's add about 50 more of these affiliate stations and micro broadcasters that carry this message. Everybody can help out, if you will, wherever you can and when you can. Our listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals and equities decline in overnight trading. We'll talk about that. Today we'll go into Part 9, the history of law education for a new legal order. A lot of very interesting information there. Some news as well. Let's go to that market report for Thursday, January the 7th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We find gold trading off $6.40 at $1,131.70 an ounce. Silver off 6 cents at $18.15. That's the people's money. Platinum moves down $12 at $1,547 an ounce. And palladium drops two at $424 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,127.30 for a low, $1,135.30 for a high. You look at about an $8 spread in there. At $1,131.70, your gold is up $289.70 year to year for a 34.41% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the AM London Gold Fix, the boys in London set the price at $1,130.75. And you can see we're traveling about a dollar above that right now. We'll be back. Stay with us. Much more to come.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The Diginet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. Diginet also offers the same audio video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at diginet.net. That's diginet.net. diginet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your Diginet spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, January the 7th, 2010. That's going to be hard. Just switch it right over, Will. 2010. Welcome to our Thursday, January the 7th, 2010, 2-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Here in partly sunny southwest Missouri, we've got 7 degrees. Tonight they're forecasting a low of minus 2 degrees. Snow is likely this afternoon. It's not exactly man-made global warming. I could jump up and down. I'm trying everything I can do to make it man-made global warming in this studio, but it is frightfully cold out. Anyway, let's get back to the market reports for Thursday, January the 7th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we find gold trading down $6.40 at $1,131.70 an ounce. Silver off 6 at $18.15 an ounce. Platinum down 12 at $1,547. And palladium off 2 at $4.24. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 2 points. Overnight, lots of chitter-chatter about stocks going down in Europe, so we'll see how that transpires today. But the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday at 10,574. The NASDAQ was off 8 at 2301. The S&P 500, Standard & Poor's, also very poor 500 stocks, up 1 point, trading at 1,137. Crude oil this morning, running at $82.75 a barrel, off 43 cents. And the U.S. dollar index, let's see, I had that backwards on my little chart that I made for myself. Make a note of that. The U.S. dollar index is running at 78.00. It's up 50 basis points. Into the foreign exchange we go with the Canadian dollar, the loonie there, that's moving up about 10 basis points at 97 cents U.S. The Mexican peso still at 8 cents, although it moved down about 12 basis points. When we're talking about basis points, folks, it's 0.12%. Oh, to very little small move, but it does add up if you're buying billions of dollars worth of tacos, right? Anyway, the multiplier for the Mexican peso stands at 12.7532. The euro this morning moves down a little bit, 0.53% or 53 basis points. Drops down from the $1.44 where it's been traveling lately, now at $1.43 U.S. The British pound losing 63 basis points. Again, this U.S. dollar index goes up, these things go down, and it did. British pound running at $1.59. And the Swiss franc, just like the Canadian dollar, standing at 97 cents U.S., although the Swiss franc moved back about 71 basis points. In the bond market, the yield on the two-year bond, a lot of talk and chatter on the internet this morning. If you go up and look at Bloomberg, I had deliberated back and forth all morning as to whether I was going to print these articles out and report them. But there's a bunch of financial news on Bloomberg this morning on the homepage, www.bloomberg.com. You can find out about it for yourself. But there's a lot of chatter on the web about this relationship between the two-year bond yield and the 10-year bond yield. We're getting close to setting some records here for the spread. But the two-year bond is at 1.02%. These are treasuries or T-bills, I guess you'd say. The 10-year is at 383. So we're getting, there's quite a bit of a spread in there, and so there's a lot of chatter about that. The 30-year yield on the treasury there is 4.70%. So those are your bonds stacking up quite a big spread. Lots of jumping, leapy, big differences between them. In the mortgage market this morning, again, continuing to watch this increase as the money masters make it more and more difficult for people to afford or qualify for these mortgages. The mortgage rate continues to go up. The 15-year mortgage is this morning running at 4.75% as opposed to 4.51% a month ago. So, you know, that's a pretty substantial move. I didn't get out my real estate calculator and crunch the numbers, but in a 15-year mortgage at $100,000, a move like that adds up to money. And even worse, in the 30-year, moving up from 5.03% interest rate a month ago, it's now running at 5.26. Well, how much higher can it go? Where will it go at the end of the year? We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, that's the market news for today. I know a lot of you probably, like me, kind of enjoy a tuna fish sandwich from time to time. And in these days where money gets a little bit tight, maybe a tuna fish casserole would just, you know, fill the bill. Well, I've been really distressed over the past 4 or 5 years as I've noticed that tuna fish is almost impossible in a can to buy without some kind of a soy soup in there. So in exasperation, I fired some emails off a couple of days ago to Starkist and Chicken of the Sea. Got a reply back from Starkist. And my question to them was, why, if they're going to put it on the can that it's, you know, packed in spring water, why on earth can't I just get it packed in spring water? Why do they make a little soy, genetically modified soy soup in it? That's, is that supposed to improve the flavor, or is the flavor of the tuna fish so poor that I wouldn't be able to enjoy it without some kind of a vegetable broth soup? And what on earth, what vegetables do you put in the broth? And why do you put it in there? Wouldn't it be cheaper just to do what it says on the can and pack it in filtered spring water? Anyway, this is the reply. Dear William, this is from Starkist Company. Dear William, thank you for your interest in the Starkist Company and for your question regarding food biotechnology and its products, sometimes referred to as genetically modified organisms or GMOs. The fish used in Starkist products, whether tuna, salmon, or whitefish, I don't know what a whitefish is. Do you know what a whitefish is? Kind of a generic thing. anything that's got white flesh that got caught in the nets, they just throw it all in there. Anyway, whether tuna, salmon, or whitefish are caught in the wild and are not subject to any biotechnology, well, that's their opinion, not mine. However, some of the minor ingredients used in certain Starkist products may come from or be combined with other ingredients that do make use of food biotechnology. You see why I always put those cans back on the shelf. The use of biotechnology, the email continues, is very common among certain crops in the U.S., such as soybeans, because it improves crop productivity and enables the grower to use fewer chemicals and to conserve land and water. I think we're identifying a Monsanto product? I think so. In particular, products containing soy, such as vegetable oil and vegetable broth, may contain ingredients derived through biotechnology. Put that on your tuna fish sandwich. Years of testing and scientific consensus by such organizations as the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and the American Medical Association, boy, they couldn't have shot themselves in the foot quicker there, have demonstrated the safety of genetically modified foods. That's why you can't sell them in Europe. But anyway, what can I say? In fact, the FDA has concluded that foods derived through food biotechnology are the same and therefore just as safe as other foods in their nutrition, composition, and use. That's right, you're hearing it here first. The FDA has also concluded that foods from biotechnology do not require a special labeling statement or declaration because these foods are basically the same as those produced by traditional methods. You believe that, folks? Had an organic soybean farmer, I'd have been bringing on the broadcast and tell you the difference between these products. Anyway, we'll be back in a few moments. Stay with us.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find
now powered. Servers now available. And starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is teamspeak.cc. Your total voiceover IP solutions provider. teamspeak.cc.
Hey, y'all, pull up a chair and come on over to Cordat Country every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
And so we're back once again visiting with Starkiss Company here in a raging debate about whether or not they should or should not include toxic GMO garbage in along with their tuna fish, for God's sakes, and labeling it as vegetable broth. Might as well just go ahead and say it. It's toxic soup. I don't want to drink this stuff. I don't want it in my fish. I don't want it on my sandwich. I don't want it in my casserole. Anyway, continuing here, they say the American Dietetics Association, the ADA, published a position paper in support of food biotechnology, which says in part, quote, the ADA encourages the government, food manufacturers, and food commodity groups and qualified food and nutrition professionals to work together to inform consumers about this new technology and encourage the availability of these products in the marketplace. The American Dietetic Association, the ADA. I would suggest everybody fire off a couple of emails to them. But if you want to read all of this position paper that they've published, you can go to www.eatright.org and select position papers so you can read their position paper where they're encouraging qualified food and nutrition professionals to work together to inform the consumers about this new technology and encourage the availability of these products in the marketplace. You know, we can stand together on things like this and become vocal local. I have had some minor successes in the past working with food producers, particularly bakers, getting all the crap out of the bread so that I could go in and buy the most expensive loaf of bread on the grocery store shelf and come home without high fructose corn syrup and everything else salted into the bread. Anyway, that was a major victory. It took months of letter writing to get that to happen, but it did happen, so maybe we could get them to get this toxic soup out of our tuna fish. Anyway, since you try to avoid products using soy, you might wish to try one of Starkiss's several other varieties that contain only fish, water, and salt. My question is, why don't they all just contain fish and water and skip your salt, too, if you don't mind, please. If I want some salt with my seafood, I'll add it myself. None of which would contain ingredients derived from biotechnology, blah, blah, blah. They're going to send along a coupon for my use. Well, that's that article. I'm looking forward to hearing from the other as well. I'm not going to leave any stone unturned in all of this. Got another email from one of our prominent Ozark property rights Congress members, as a matter of fact, the founder of the Southwest chapter. Got this from Ron Calzone. Missouri citizens for property rights win a major court victory, another blow to the Missouri Municipal League, Kansas City, Mo, January 5th, 2010. Today, the Missouri Court of Appeals Western District issued an opinion on the Missouri Municipal League's challenge to the summaries that appear on petitions and the ballot for two eminent domain petitions. The court ruled exactly as the proponents of the petition, Missouri Citizens for Property Rights, suggested in their court brief, affirming in part and reversing in part the circuit court ruling. The court ordered the Secretary of State to certify the ballot titles, which will allow signature collecting on the two petitions after a full year of court delays. There was lots of these petitions circulated. The opinion came just 21 days after the oral arguments, much sooner than appeals courts typically issues their opinion. This is a huge victory after a year-long court battle, said Ron Calzone, the chairman of the property rights group. We believe the court's action points out the weaknesses of the Missouri Municipal League's position. The court decision came on the heels of fresh allegations of misconduct by the Missouri Municipal League. In an audio recording of a meeting of the Missouri Bar's Eminent Domain Committee, a managing partner for the law firm representing MML stated, that their main purpose in bringing the suit was to delay the collecting of signatures. Missouri law and Supreme Court rules prohibit the using the legal system for the purposes of causing delay or unwarranted expense to opposing litigants, and provides for the awarding of damages to the injured parties. That might be nice. On December the 14th, Mo CPR served MML with a motion for monetary sanctions to help make up for the additional expenses that will result from a diminished time frame to collect the hundreds of thousands of required signatures. MML has 30 days to respond to the motion before the court gets involved and decides whether or not to go order sanctions. Well, there's more to that, folks. But again, becoming vocal local does have its payoffs. Silence implies your assent. And so when you remain quiet on important issues altogether too often, you just get crushed under the wheels of the juggernaut. Well, where does all this come from? Where does it, harken back to? As we begin this morning our study, continuing this study, our part nine now, the history of law, we're going to take a little bit of a look at the development of the American schools of law. It was a time, each and every one of you that have listened to all nine of these segments has now got under your belt just as much as or more law education than Abraham Lincoln did before he began studying, practicing law. I think my memory serves me right from his biography. He's only had about 20 hours of help from a lawyer before he went on out and started practicing law himself. There once was a time where you didn't have to go into this great long lockstep, getting involved with the niche builders to be, to provide advice of counsel. Anyway, that has all changed. But let's look at this rather interesting history as it unfolds. The law, American schools of law, and again, we're referring to just simple encyclopedia articles for a point of departure. Among the notable features of educational progress in the United States during the 19th century, that would be the 1800s, Lincoln's days, radical red Republican Lincolns. Now, they're going to have the Missouri Republicans are going to have their Lincoln Days dinner coming up. It's all coming. Radical red Republicans that they are. Anyway, back into this. Among the notable features of educational progress in the United States during the 19th century, there was possibly none more remarkable in scope or destined to exert weightier influence upon the future of the nation than the marvelous increase in number and growth in importance of our American schools of law. That this statement is conservative rather than extravagant is demonstrated by the fact that while at the opening of that century, there existed in our nation but a single professional law school. Only one. And that, a private enterprise, which never conferred a degree. At its close, more than 100 publicly chartered academic institutions were given official recognition as such by the National Commissioner of Education. Perhaps you've looked at your own state constitution. Certainly I've read ours here from Missouri. But when they talk about this free and gratuitous public education system, when you read the bylaws for the Republican Party here in Missouri and you see that ex officio members are the Board of Education, you can understand this inextricable wedding that has been made between the institution of education and our political system, but it's much deeper than that. We're going to find the American bankers in here, the creation of the American Bar Association in here, and much more. Let's go into this a little further. And the American School of Law is today an institution peculiar to itself for the reason that there existed in the mother country from which our common law and so large a proportion of our earlier statute law, as well as the formal machinery of our administration of justice, were derived, no similar scholastic organizations which could serve as models in the development of a system of instruction and jurisprudence. In other words, the mother country, England, didn't have anything comparable to what we had coming on us and at us at that time period. Folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Much, much more to come.
are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so once again, we are back and we are looking at the American schools of law, their early beginnings and where they're going to go, right all the way up to the 1950s when this set of encyclopedias were published. But we found in England there wasn't really a comparable system of universities or colleges or law schools. And in the United States, in the colonies, of course, there wasn't anything established either, with rare exceptions, until recently, truly. But let's go into it a little bit more here. Among the continental nations of Europe, of course, and particularly among races of Latin derivation, schools of law had been firmly established from a period of remote antiquity and were held in exalted importance. So there's a major rift, if you will. That English Channel served more than just a place to float a boat. There was a definite division between what was going down in Wales and in England and Ireland and in Scotland, as opposed to what was going down in Europe. And purposefully so. Different schools of thought, different lifestyles. But Europe has kind of just overtaken once again. The black nobility of Europe, folks, you got to go back and read the Verona Treaty. Continuing from the encyclopedia, thus, great schools of jurisprudence flourished long prior even to the time of Justinian in Rome and in Constantinople and became especial objects of the sedulous watch, care, and protection of that great emperor to whose enlightened supervision the Roman law owed its systemization and codifications at the hands of Tribonian and his colleagues. Tribonian, capital T there, Tribonian and his colleagues. Although, in the earlier period of Roman history and under the Republic, the youthful student who aspired to master the principles of jurisprudence usually attached himself to some lawyer of prominence from whose discourse and practice he might acquire the desired knowledge. This is how Avram Springsteen, also known as Abraham Lincoln, came to the bar, if you will. Tutoring underneath or apprenticing, if you will, under a master. It's the old feudal rollout one more time. Dropping down a little bit further here, the impetus given by these law schools of antiquity, not alone to the study of legal principles, but to the cause of learning in all branches, was incalculable. And similarly, the renaissance of modern education has been justly held to date from the successful effort of Irnerius at the dawn of the 12th century. Of course, those that listen to this broadcast on a regular basis know that we run back to 6,500 years' worth of history from time to time and drag it forward just to refresh our memory of where we've come from. This notable scholar and teacher, himself an alumnus of Constantinople, by the establishment under the auspices of Frederick I of Germany and at the suggestion of Hildebrand's friend, the Countess Matilda, of his wonderfully successful lectureship of the Corpus Juris Civilis, provided the actual nucleus around which was eventually assembled the great University of Bologna, or Bologna, forerunner of all modern institutions of the kind. But such was the history of the growth of the English common law that slight parallelism existed between the methods by which instruction in its principles and practice could be gained by the neophyte and those open to students of legal science in continental countries, and especially among people whose jurisprudence was derived from or dominated by the elementary fundamentals of the Roman civil law. You see the difference? We have English common law rising up for centuries on the Isles, and then we've got Rome dominating and influencing almost all of Western Europe. Dropping down a little bit further here, we find this. Thus, while elaborate and erudite courses in the history and the principles of jurisprudence, ancient and modern, including both the canon and the civil law, have for centuries figured prominently in the curricula of the two great English universities, neither the highest proficiency in their scholarship nor any degree in law conferred by Oxford or Cambridge ever led to the bar in England. Summarizing that, all of the research and all of the study and all of the authors that I've read will never lead to the bar here. There is a route, there is a path, and as we begin to study the principles of business law, that will become revealed. But all of this inquiry into the ancients and the antiquities doesn't necessarily speed your way towards acceptance at the bar. On the contrary, the wardship of the door to the practice of the legal profession in our mother country has ever been in the keeping of the Inns of Court. That's capital I, Inns of Court. Curious bodies politic, important phrase there, bodies politic, the Inns of Court, which while neither hostelries nor seminaries partook in some respects of the nature of both and have remained in the peculiar custodians of instruction in the arcana of common law practice and pleading. So they weren't really dormitory type schools, although they were very close. But if you wanted to get into the law, you were going to have to go to the Inns of Court to make your way there. whether or no acceptance be accorded to the view that eminent American jurist and legal educator, Judge Simeon E. Baldwin, that the unsystematic texture of the common law was less friendly to its pursuit as a scholastic exercise, acquiescence must be full and unreserved in his conclusion that the absence of English law schools in modern times left America no guide in this direction. In other words, the colonists had only England to look back to, mostly, not absolutely. So they had no guide in this direction, and that, great as it seems the present measure of her success, whatever our country has done, she has done for herself, slowly, painfully, with hesitating and uncertain step. And there are many of these firsts, if you will, that have occurred in the United States of America, and we can be proud of that. We don't just cookie-cutter and carbon-copy what happens in Europe and England at all times, but oft times the semblance is unmistakable. Continuing, to Tapping Reeve, that would be a capital T, Tapping Reeve, a lawyer, judge, and legal writer of eminent distinction, belongs the honor of establishing the first American law school at Litchfield, Connecticut, in 1784. This is 5 years before they ratified the Constitution. Judge Reeve, a graduate of Princeton in the class of 1763. How would you like to say, well, I'm from Princeton, class of 63. It'd be 1763 to get it right. Had settled in the practice of law at Litchfield as early as 1772 and had married a sister of Aaron Burr. Well, what a guy. Who was an early student of law under him and an inmate of his household. You want to know where Aaron Burr learned to cap a ball? Maybe it's right here, Tapping Reeve. Maybe that's why we call him Tapping Somebody. Giving a double tap to old Alexander Levine Hamilton, the bean counter from the West Indies, Rothschild agent. Provocateur in Washington's cabinet, stirring up the linens, if you might say. The Litchfield Law School speedily gained a widespread and favorable reputation. Upon his assumption of duties of the bench, Judge Reeve associated with himself in the conduct of the school James Gould, the well-known legal author and jurist. The Litchfield School, though, as has been said, never conferring a degree, maintained a successful career for round about half a century, and during its existence numbered more than 1,000 students upon its rolls. Of its 1,000 alumni, some 40 rose to be justices of courts of last resort in the states of their various residences, while others reached positions of eminence as legislators in both houses of Congress. Now, you just stop right there. And I'm going to reiterate a point I've driven in many times, and that is never underestimate the influence of a professor upon many, many minds that come to sit at his feet to study. If you don't know the mind of Tapping Reeve, then how would you perceive the mind of these 1,000 alumni that then went on to become justices and being seated as legislators in both houses of Congress. See the influence. We'll be right back.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The Diginet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. Diginet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at diginet.net. That's DIGANET.net. DIGANET.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your Diginet spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Choose company, three's allowed. With your host, Sean.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sunday, 11 p.m. Central.
On the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we turned once again, and interest in things lawful or legal or the study of law, just bear with. These are all these little links that we forge day by day by day. Links of understanding and knowledge that we can use to bind down this tyrannical and despotic government that seeks to drive us out of existence, it almost would appear. But as much as I castigate Abraham Lincoln, he was witty nonetheless, but he says to sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards out of men. That's why we've become vocal. Look, we're not going to sin by silence when we should protest. It makes cowards out of men. Back to the text here again, and driving another nail in the plank, understanding how influential and how impactful a good teacher can be to the experience of its founder. Again, we're talking about Tapping Reeve here. To the experience of its founder and his colleague in this pioneer school, American students and practitioners of law unquestionably owe the production of two valuable and important textbooks, each of which, for more than half a century, remained a standard of authority in its line. These were Judge Reeve's treatise on the law of baron and femme, parent and child, guardian and ward. He published that in 1816, familiarly known as Reeve on Domestic Relations. So, for all of you jurisprudes, there's a book you can browse up, Google, Scroogle, Dogpile, or Web Ferret, Tapping Reeve, Reeve on Domestic Relations, and Judge Gould, G-U-O-L-D, apostrophe S, Judge Gould's masterly work on common law pleading. That's a book I would personally like to obtain for my own library, Gould's Common Law Pleading. In passing, mention should not be omitted of the second proprietary or private law school in America, which was that founded at Northampton, Massachusetts in 1823 by Judge Samuel Howe and Mr. E.H. Mills, a lawyer who later became a federal senator. The Northampton School, however, had but a brief existence of 6 years, and its attendance was never large. Coming now to the question of the establishment of regular academic chartered institutions, while a professorship in English law had been established largely through the efforts of Thomas Jefferson in the ancient College of William and Mary in Virginia in 1782, the earliest course of collegiate law lectures ever given in America was that delivered in 1790 by Justice James Wilson. James Wilson, he's one of the drafters and signers. Justice James Wilson of the Supreme Court of the United States, as incumbent of the chair of law in the school in the College of Philadelphia, the institution founded by Benjamin Franklin and merged in 1792 in the University of Pennsylvania. See how certain names just keep cropping up, cropping up, cropping up? Auspicious circumstances attended this opening of American collegiate instruction in law, the lecturer being not only one of the best read and most deeply learned lawyers of his time, gives you a little bit more about who this Justice James Wilson is, James Wilson. But by reason of his distinguished record as a signer of the Declaration of Independence and a member of the Constitutional Convention of 1787, a van leader of public thought and action. This was not just some musty, dusty, scholarly buff. James Wilson, is an important character, a person to figure into the discussions. We always hear about Jefferson and Hamilton and Burr and all the rest of them, but little is said of James Wilson, but you can see that he turns right around. I mean, who would you rather learn the Constitution, who would you rather learn constitutional law from but one of the men that actually wrote the document? Who would you rather turn to understand something about the Declaration of Independence, what it means and what it says, than one of those that sat to write it? Continuing, in deference, we may suppose, to his high dignity as a member of the federal judiciary, his introductory lecture on December the 15th of 1790 was attended by a brilliant concourse of public officials, including the President of the United States and his cabinet, as well as the Governor of Pennsylvania, members of Congress, and of the state legislature. But the course, or rather series, for Judge Wilson, for Judge Wilson delivered three courses of lectures during that academic year, ended with its close, and no further instruction in the subject was attempted in the University of Pennsylvania until 1817. When law lectures were once more given during the period of a single year, following which came another interval of total inactivity in that institution, lasting until 1850. So you can see from 1787 to 1850, it was kind of off to a fits and starts type of a process. They were really charting new ground. They were very busy building a new country, a new nation, if you will, on Earth. Equal station among the other nations on the planet. And so law sort of went to the back burner. In New York, the history of academic legal instruction began with the appointment of James Kent in 1793 to a professorship of law in Columbia College. Of course, if you haven't studied the various universities and when they were founded and who founded them, who funded them, who were their patrons, who attended there, it's a worthy study of its own. His first course of lectures being delivered to a small class during the following year and succeeding courses in 1795 and 1797. Yes, that's right. We don't have thousands and thousands of listeners this morning. We have a very intimate homeschool classroom here, the School of Philosophical Radicalism. Inquiries into bigger things than necessarily the daily drill. Information zipped off the internet from the International Regurgitorium. Again, owing to the slight attendance, however, he resigned the chair in 1798 upon his accession to the bench of the Supreme Court of New York, of which he became Chief Justice in 1804. So you see, we're moving forward now again. In 1823, and this out of Columbia, at the age of 60, having served in the previous year as a member of the convention to revise the state constitution, and having been chancellor of New York since 1814, he retired from the bench and was reelected to his former chair at Columbia. The incalculably valuable service which he had rendered to the cause of American jurisprudence, and especially to the administration, development, and extension of equitable jurisdiction, key phrase, equity, always pay attention to that word these days, the three E's of sustainable development, everyone should know them by heart, environment, economy, and equity. He now supplemented by elaborating his learned and lucid lectures into those incomparable commentaries on American law in four volumes, which were published in 1826 to 1830. Again, here we're talking about James Kent, K-E-N-T. You might make a note of that and look for those incomparable commentaries on American law published in four volumes in 1826 to 1830, which for more than three quarters of a century have remained for the lawyers of our country as solid and standard and authority of reference as were the works of Sir Edward Coke and William Blackstone to the English practitioners. Fundamental basic principles of understanding our system of law. Attendance upon the Chancellor's lectures appears, however, have to have been perfectly voluntary, with the student body, no regular law course being prescribed, no examinations on the subject being held, and no degrees in law conferred. This is the whole idea of creating these flea combs to keep all the pesky little fleas out of these various bodies of specialized knowledge through mandatory college degrees and juris doctorates and admissions to the bar. Is it a crude law, or is law just a bar to justice?
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online. Worldwide. At OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, January 7th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. As we begin our second hour of today's broadcast, we come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. In the first hour, we covered a little bit of StarKist news and some other stuff. And then we dove into a study of the American schools of law, their development from the origins into more modern times. We're still in the 1800s. But certainly, you could look at the spines of a set of encyclopedias. Maybe many of you walked by a set of encyclopedias somewhere along the line in your lives. School libraries, public libraries in your own homes, perhaps your parents' homes. And you just kind of walk by them and you see all these volumes there. And you know they're just chock-a-lock full of information, but really, where would you start, right? I like to start at Aleph and I like to end at Zwingli. Of course, more modern works end with the word zygote, but anyway, if you read from A to Z, it kind of opens up your mind. If you want to take a fast track, you can go right to the index. I don't know whether or not. Wikipedia has an index where you can just look at all of the stuff, but where would you go there? With all that's known on the internet and all of those websites, where would you go? So I think it's helpful for the process of this broadcast, at least, to take advantage of the fact that I have read these encyclopedias from A to Zwingli. And there is a thread, there's a method behind all of this madness, trying to lay down what I consider to be, and again, these are just my ideas, but what I consider to be some of the fundamental basic principles of understanding that we need to have in our treasure chest, we need to have in our toolbox when we start becoming politically active, when we decide that by our own silence, we simply make cowards of ourselves as we allow this juggernaut to roll over us. These are just little places, I think, that I'm just pointing to that you might be able to benefit inquiring into as well, so that you can be much better prepared when you find yourself mano a mano, face to face, in a meeting room, in an assembly, in a corporate boardroom, or any other place on the street corner, in a park, or wherever, and you are entertaining discussion as to things to do, places to go, things to be, and so on. Goals, time management, all of that. I was invited to come and speak to another group coming up toward the end of the month, to lead a course in activism. The email doesn't tell me what kind of activism they want me to talk about. But you can imagine where I will most likely go. And I look forward to that. Hopefully it'll be a full three-hour seminar. But on these broadcasts, the idea is to lay out the little bits and the little bits and the little bits and the little bits. And through the blessing and the miracle of internet, you can go back to the archives and listen to other broadcasts that we've done here in the past and on other networks and fill in all the blanks and fill in all the pieces. There's no easy solution. There's no quick way out. We live in the land of the ignorant, and it can be remedied. Ignorance is not irreparable. Ignorance is a momentary thing. And I certainly haven't all the answers. I just depend upon the things that I've read. I probably don't know a single thing that I didn't learn from someone else. So I hope you can take advantage of these broadcasts, make absolute most use of the archives, listen carefully, take notes, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we've returned once again, and certainly it doesn't take a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, does it? In 1858, again, Columbia University at Columbia, New York, this was really the beginning, if you will, of law being taught in that city. That's no surprise. It shouldn't really come as a surprise. It really doesn't count against Avram Springsteen or Abraham Lincoln that he had such a scant background of readings in law, understanding law, before he went ahead and began to practice it. Where would you go for that knowledge? England? Europe? If you're a log splitter or whatever else you might have been, where would you go? And where can you go? Can any of you afford $100,000, $200,000 for a law education out of Oxford or Harvard or Princeton or Columbia? Perhaps not. Eldest of existing American law schools organized as such is the Harvard Law School, which was established in 1817. While it is true that as early as 1799, Isaac Royal, a Massachusetts citizen, then resident in London, had bequeathed property to Harvard College for the establishment of chair of law, the fund did not become available until 1815, and the duties of the incumbent up to the time of the appointment of the Honorable Asa Hall Stearns as university professor of law in 1817 consisted merely in the delivery of 15 lectures annually to the senior class in the college. 15 lectures annually. Of course, any of the listeners of this broadcast, you remember the book by A.V. Dicey, to Albert Ben Dicey. He held the Blackstone's Venerian chair at Oxford, came to Harvard, and delivered a series of lectures to publish in a book called Public Opinion. It's not the actual title, but and it's in my library. It's not handy to me right at the moment, but the reason I bring it up is so that when we talk about lectures, 15 lectures, we're not talking about 15 days necessarily, 15 one-hour classes, but a lecture. You take an idea and you lay it out and you share it with your students and it goes as long as it goes. It might be an all-day symposium, might be an all-week symposium, it might have 10 parts or 12. But anyway, continuing here, Professor Stearns remained 12 years at the head of the Harvard Law School. And it must justly be said, with every desire to render due credit to this distinguished and faithful instructor, that they were years of small beginnings and of little advancement for the institution. In other words, historically, not much is thought of it. Not much came out of it. The Litchfield School enjoyed such a high repute that it is easily attracted a far larger and more enthusiastic attendance. Again, Litchfield, we're over here talking about Tapping Reeve again. Aaron Burr tapping Alexander Hamilton with a patched ball. The Litchfield School enjoyed such a high repute that it easily attracted a far larger and more enthusiastic attendance, while even the Northampton School was a dangerous rival. In 1829, however, a new phase was placed upon the condition and prospects of the Harvard Law School by the Honorable Nathan Daines' generous donation of $10,000 for the endowment of a new professorship of law. Again, $10,000 seems slight today, but in 1829 you were talking about some real money. Marshall's, excuse me, I don't want to skip over that part of it. Okay, $10,000 for the endowment of a new professorship of law, coupled with his request that Mr. Justice Story of the United States Supreme Court, Marshall's great coadjutor, and the only one of his associates who fairly divides with him the fame of the early administration of that mighty bench, he appointed the first Dane professor, Justice Story. Could you imagine sitting in his class? Simultaneously, John Hooker Ashman, then the head preceptor of the Northampton School, was tendered the chair of the royal professorship. The average attendance at the Cambridge School had then sunk to that of a single student. A single student. Talk hosts are always concerned about how many listeners they have. Can you imagine teaching a course in law at Cambridge with only one student? The average of attendance at the Cambridge School then sunk again to that of a single student, but upon the acceptance of its headship by Judge Story, a rival of interest was manifested, and the close of his first year's administration saw in the neighborhood of 30 pupils enrolled. The Northampton School immediately ceased to exist, and the Litchfield School was abandoned 4 years later. Professor Ashman's death in 1833 was followed by the election, as Judge Story's colleague, of Simon Greenleaf, an advocate of eminence and the first official reporter of the decisions of the Supreme Judicial Court of the State of Maine, and the distinguished author of that treatise on the law of evidence, which at once became, as it has since remained, a standard of authority in all countries ruled by English law. So again, we're talking about the fundamental basic principles. The men who shaped the mind of American jurisprudence. And even though they may have had slight attendance, it don't take very many to fill out and round out the United States Supreme Court. At a time when there wasn't 50 states, it doesn't take too many to actually round out or flesh out the Supreme Courts in all of the several states. And if you're getting all of your education from three or four sources, it's those three or four minds that then develop the law of the land. Are you with me? The Yale Law School is second in age only to that of Harvard, and while ordinarily spoken of as established in 1824, practically dates from the appointment in 1826 of an Honorable David Daggett, a judge of the Superior Court of Connecticut, to the professorship of law in the college, a chair which had been established indeed as early as 1801. Under the presidency of Reverend Dr. Timothy Dwight, and had been previously administered by the Honorable Eliezer Goodrich, but merely as a lectureship on the leading principles of legal science with no view to qualifying students for the bar. Professor Daggett, however, had been, up to the time of his appointment, associated with a leading advocate, Samuel J. Hitchcock, in the conduct of a private law school in New Haven, Connecticut. And under his supervision, the Yale Department of Law speedily took shape as a practical law school. In 1833, graduates of Litchfield School established a law school at Cincinnati. You see how this flows now? Graduates of Litchfield School established a law school at Cincinnati. And similar schools founded in Louisville, Kentucky, on Tennessee, and others.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit tpr20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On tpr20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit tpr20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's tpr20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The Diginet Spy sunglasses are perfect perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet spy products today. Because video never lies.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so, perhaps if we can understand that from humble beginnings, great things grow. Think back now. Let's understand something. That 140 years ago, we were looking at graduating out 28, maybe 30 people from law schools on this continent. 20 years later, the authors continue here, continuing from the American Schools of Law, right out of the Encyclopedia Americana, published in 1951. 20 years later, in 1870, the number of law schools had increased to 28, with an aggregate attendance of 1,653 students. In 1880, there were 48 schools, serving 3,134 students. In 1890, 54 schools with 4,518 attendants. And in 1901, just 12 years prior to the establishment of the Federal Reserve Banking System, the number of schools had reached 100 with more than 13,000 pupils enrolled. The report of the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching for 1930 lists the number of full-time and part-time degree-conferring law schools to number 180. And this article very likely was published right around there because that's the latest date that the author includes in this article. This being written by C. V. Holman, the lecturer on mining law, University of Maine. And then he continues, and I'm not going to bore you with the intricate details, but as the territories and states were added on, the 49 jurisdictions, the states and the District of Columbia, at a time when there was the lower 48, Alaska, Hawaii, still territories, fully 35 of those jurisdictions required that graduates of law school within the jurisdictions pass an additional examination before being allowed admission to the bar. And in these jurisdictions, there are the following numbers of schools, and anyway, they continue. So, at the time when we were at 48 states, there were a total of 178 schools. But they were already starting to clamping down. And it was no longer a case where you could maybe glance through Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England and come up and away and start as a providing advice of counsel and being a lawyer. Now we'd come into a full-blown niche building, institution building system. Dropping down considerably here, speeding things along. As a result, the Union College of Law, Northwestern University, the University of Pennsylvania, and the University of Pittsburgh have followed the lead of Harvard in requiring a bachelor's degree for admission. In other words, now you had to have a bachelor's degree from another accredited institution before you could even begin on a study of law. Several other universities require a minimum of 3 years of preliminary college work, others two or one. 81 schools now require at least 2 years, an Associate of Arts degree perhaps, or an Associate of Sciences, most likely an Associate of Arts 2-year degree. And so here back, this obviously could not have been written before 1950, 60 years ago, we still had other universities requiring a minimum of 3 years, some of two, and some of 1 year before you could embark on a study of law. The marked elevation of the requirements for admission to American law schools is shown by the fact that while prior to 1877 no entrance examination was prescribed in any of them, and so late as 1890 there was but a single institution demanding a demonstration of precedent educational attainment equivalence to the requirements for college matriculation, nearly one half of the recognized law schools of this country now in the 1950s deny admission to applicants except upon terms that would practically secure their entrance to the average college of liberal arts. The highest standard of admission was that prescribed by Harvard, which for some years past has refused to admit as candidates for degrees of law students not holding the degree of bachelor, which was conferred by some college of recognized standing. And then it continues and talks about that more. Other colleges, the relationship between them. As I've shared in the past and almost on every broadcast, we talk about the niche builders, those that have specialized knowledge. Maybe they have a special skill, one of the mysteries. And seeking to protect their mystery, they carve out a niche in the great sandstone wall of life, clamber up into their niche, and then they wall themselves in with specialized knowledge and training, and they hang their shingle out and sell their wares to the unwaring passerby. And that is the case with law. As we continue to dive into this topic deeper, we're going to find that through this period of time, this past 200 years, law has gone from some simple thing that you could write out in 36 pages, the common law of England, to now far beyond just an average science, something that no one, 40,000 something plus new laws passed in this year, no one individual could possibly know at all. With the result that the sound judgment of lawyers and legal educators has been gradually led to endorse the proposition that it is neither logical nor desirable for schools of law in no way subject to the supervision of the courts to possess the unrestricted power to create officers thereof. And that is a summation of a paragraph long sentence that I'll spare you all of the semicolons. But what they basically are saying here is that it is the law schools that are setting up the standards for what will pass in this country as lawyers, but also the judges who then rule over the courts. And so it becomes a closed system, and the Bar Association is in here as well. And as we continue to study and learn more about the Uniform Commercial Code, the Lex Mercatoria, the law merchant, business law, we're going to find also that the American Bankers Association, the American Bar Association, all of these various and sundry education boards, boards of education in all of the several states, the International Chambres de Commerce, the Chambers of Commerce, the transnationals, the internationals, the bankster gangsters, the American Banking Association, they're all bought up in this thing. They're all part of this mystery. They've all created this system where if you go up and look this morning on Bloomberg News, you'll find out about how Timmy Geithner was and the Fed chairman of the New York Bank and others were counseling AIG how they should conceal and delay and hide their information. So you've got a banking institution counseling and advising an insurance company how they should hide the investments that they made through the banking organizations in regards to monies that they receive from the government, and they've got their lawyers. You see how it works. I mean, to tell you, to think we're going to do this with three-cornered hats and black powder rifles and Warner's benches. Give us a break. got serious things to do here in this very near future, folks. It's going to be up to us to know what we're doing and not make any mistakes. We don't have the time.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so as we continue our study of this idea here, the American schools of law, their development, the education of the legal beagle, and as we continue in our study of this principles of business law and other documents, other books here, we find that there is a certain amount of antagonism between those that seek a degree in law or the license or the bar exam, the ability to practice law, and the educational arena. There is considerable conflict. What possible good would a bachelor's degree in underwater basket weaving or interpersonal relationships or any of the other kind of somewhat specious sociology degrees, what possible benefit would that be to someone who is to practice law? As a result, in all these years, you know, there is such a thing as a crime to practice law without a license. But as a result, over these years, you know, you've got realtors out there and they're involved with contracts. You've got people out there that sell insurance, and they deal with contracts all the time. Even engineering, you know, architecture, all of the various and sundry professions, everybody's up to their eyeballs in all of this legal stuff, of course. And a businessman scarce dares anymore to even put together a contract for purchasing or selling goods without the advice of counsel, because the waters are just filled with sharks. We've seen the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who now have degrees in law. But there is this advancing antagonism between the schools on this matter. It's a matter of singular interest that with the steadily advancing standard of entrance requirements, there has followed an almost equivalent decline in the importance of a diploma or graduation from a law school as a factor in securing admission to the bar. Formerly, in securing admission to the bar, formerly, in many jurisdictions, such a diploma was by statute an immediate passport to the practice of the profession. But with the stiffening of the educational requirements demanded of the law student, there has most fortunately concurred a quickening of the conscience of the courts as to their duties and responsibilities in the premises. And I apologize, this is very fine print, and my eyes are old, I've read thousands of pages. The influence of the American Bar Association and its junior organization, the Association of American Law Schools, has for some years been steadily and wisely directed to securing the abolition of the exercise by law schools of this power, which should properly be exercisable only by the courts. In other words, who should determine what education is necessary to serve as a judge or to have a law practice? What qualifies one to practice law? A study of all manner and sundry of things that you might get in a bachelor degree, or the study of law? They're not necessarily parallel studies. In fact, they're certainly not. While there can be no doubt of the eventual establishment of this reform universally, every time you see that word universally, my ears perk up, a law school diploma still admits to the bar in the states of Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, Arkansas, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. The American Bar Association in 1923 made public a list of law schools which complied with its standards of legal education for admission to the bar. The list, published, only included 39 institutions coming fully up to their standard. In many of the states, this matter has now been wisely regulated by placing the matter of admission to the practice of law exclusively within the jurisdiction of state boards of law examiners. The members of such boards being usually appointed in rotation for fixed terms by the justices of the highest appellate courts in the respective states. So here again, this is another one of those places. This is another one of those Achilles heels, another place for competent, knowledgeable political activism with a purpose. Continuing from the article here, as the American School of Law was practically compelled to construct its own road to success, it is not unnatural that there should have arisen considerable divergence of opinion and of practice in the matter of methods in instruction. Roughly, it may be said that three systems have prevailed. Now, these are the three systems of instruction that have prevailed for obtaining an education in law. I share them with you because you're going to see that some of what we're doing here is an accepted method of instruction towards becoming, you know, getting a bar guard. Here they are. A system of instruction by lectures and dictation. That's one of them. A system of instruction by the study of and recitation from prescribed textbooks of authority. That's the second. and a system of instruction confined largely to the reading and expounding of selected cases of leading importance indicated by the instructor, through which the student is encouraged to delve for a mastery of the principles involved. The latter method, first generally introduced on a scientific basis by Professor C.C. Langdell Dane, professor of law at Harvard, and since greatly elaborated by his colleagues, Professors James Barr Ames and Joseph H. Beal, Jr., and Samuel H. Williston, as well as Professor W.A. Keener of Columbia and Professor Ernst Huffcutt of Cornell, may be justly considered the prevailing system in our law schools of today. What does all that mean? Well, what that means, basically, Dorothy, is that for most on their journey to law, for most, it's the study of case law, and as we've seen and we're going to continue to see, this idea of stare decisis, this idea of studying law, case law, law made, judge made law, the decisions of lower and appellate courts. This is the system by which people learn law. And so you'll hear from the various law mongers and pettifoggers, just terms right out of the Noah Webster's 1828. They always are referring to case law. Oh, this, this, and this, and this. And coming in a different direction, and we should be back on air. Well, that was an interesting little drop. Let's go back over here, click on that, back to there. This is self-produced live radio, folks, just dealing with it all, going to there, click on that, and we'll see whether or not anybody is going to pay attention here. Come on, let's do that. Well, we should hear a break coming up here shortly, and that'll indicate that we're back on there. It looks like everything is going, I think. Maybe. Maybe not. May not be getting anything out of this. Let's see. Arco broadcast. We can go over there. Yeah, I think we're still on the air. Okay. Well, another disruption, fortunately, but we're getting close to the end of this little section. So I don't have a clue wherever it was that I left off. It'll be on the archives. Let's finish this out. No review of the history of American law schools would be just or complete. Isn't it a bummer to get interrupted when you're summarizing 2 hours of discussion? Anyway, yeah, kick those firemen out of the classroom, get the cops out of the room. It's time to continue the broadcast. No review of the history of American law schools would be just or complete. There's that break. We are on the air. Good. We'll be back. Stay with us.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet.
TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
All right, so I can never rule out the possibility that somewhere out there in the listening audience, we've got young homeschoolers or perhaps middle-aged people that are out of work or seniors that are sitting there with twiddling their thumbs trying to make something meaningful out of another day, basically under house arrest in their homes with no money for fuel for their diesel trucks or food in their refrigerator. And so to idly just kind of pass our time, I guess. We could talk about all manner of things, but for those that are Johnny on the spot and want to increase their understanding, this is the system by which law is taught. And I'm going to give you those three criteria again, the three prevailing systems. It's a system of instruction by lectures and dictation. They used to call that readings in law, where you would listen to some great professor, and you would take notes like mad in your copybook. And then you'd go back and you would study and you would reflect on that and hit the libraries. Second, it was a system of instruction by the study of and the recitation from prescribed textbooks of authority. So that's where you're actually standing up and reading the law, readings in law. And Jesus was said to stand, therefore, in the synagogue. He stood, therefore, to read. And he read from the law. Continuing, third, and a system of instruction confined largely, again, to the reading and expounding of selected cases of leading importance. That's your study of your law library. Indicated by the instructor, through which the student is encouraged to delve for a mastery of the principles involved. In other words, if you are actually find yourself a judge, or if you are a legal assistant, and or if you are a practicing attorney, and you are preparing for a case, you need to go and find the whatever law that you can from all of these cases, precedent, stare decisis, and then plead accordingly, I guess would be the way to say it. Again, I don't have any training, any formal study in law other than my own. But these are things that you could do right where you are. And you can imagine, or at least I should say you can understand, having covered the information that we have in these past 9 sessions, why when someone is talking about, well, getting rid of your driver license or rescinding your Social Security card or any of these other band-aids, individual solutions, as I say, to global problems, it's kind of dwarfed when you look at the magnitude of what's going down. And as we continue, especially as we go into business law and start getting into the Uniform Commercial Code, then we'll start to understand just how vast and complex the system actually is. And you get somebody like Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, and you've got someone on the floor questioning whether or not the new health care bill follows the Constitution. And she looks at him and goes, "You must be kidding." Well, Donald Rumsfeld, there are the things that we know. There are things that we don't know. There are the known knowns. There are the known unknowns. There are the unknown knowns and the unknown unknowns. Those kind of comments start to make a little bit more sense when you get out of our own ignorant, arrogant, small-mindedness and start trying to figure out a solution to this real problem that we're faced with. So, with all that having been said, 6 minutes to go, let's jump in and close this out. No review of the history of American law schools would be just or complete with which failed to note the remarkable debt under which the practice and administration of law in this country has been placed by the contributions to legal literature made by members of their various faculties in the form of standard textbooks, usually, if not universally, the outgrowth of carefully prepared courses of lectures primarily designed solely for the guidance of their student bodies. And that's precisely what we're going to be dealing with as we go further into Delavaux and Howard's Principles of Business Law, published in the 1970s, and some of these other books. The Story of Law by John Maxey Zane, Free C, Hugo Grotius, The Whole Duty of Man According to the Law of Nature, Samuel Pufendorf, The Rights of War and Peace by Hugo Grotius, and so many others, Roscoe Pound, The Ideal Elements of Law. All of these various and sundries rising up out of lectures primarily designed solely for the guidance of their individual students in courses, Reeves on domestic relations, Gould on pleadings, Kent's commentaries on the American law, already instanced. Justice Story's treatise on the elements of constitutional law and on equity jurisprudence, that would be an interesting one. Justice Story's equity jurisprudence, I'd like to read that myself. Greenleaf's exhausted summarization of the law of evidence and Parsons' great work on the law of contracts constitute 3 monuments of this sort, which alone reflect imperishable renown on the Harvard Law School, could point out to no other ground of claim its present distinction. And, the authors conclude here, an interesting parallelism subsists between the facts that, as it was the donation to Oxford by Viner of the profits of his compendious abridgment of English law, which furnished the foundation of the Vinerian professorship, the first and the greatest fruit of which was the elaboration by Sir William Blackstone of his course in lectures into the imperishable commentaries on the laws of England, so it was the donation to Harvard by Dane of the profits of his later abridgment of law, which directly stimulated the production of Joseph Story's masterly work, Equity, Jurisprudence. And then they list a few others. All of this basically just gives us an understanding of the development of American schools of law in this continent, on this continent. points out again all of these various books that you can really only in one place like this find the names of people, the books. I was asked one time, actually by another talk host, if I could provide a bibliography, books that they should read. My God, man, what a question that is. Where would we start? Why would you even be remotely interested in reading the books that I've read? We're each on a different journey. We all wear a different pair of moccasins. The trail winds in different ways for each of us. All of the books that I've read, some come completely by accident in boxfuls of books picked up at an estate sale or an auction or from a flea market. But it's a curiosity to me that each book has come into my library almost on time, on topic, and on point. Had I initially set out to acquire those volumes, I would never have known what to look for or what to ask for. But they each just kind of came at the right time and in the right sequence. Every now and then there's one that's just pushed aside and pushed aside and pushed aside. And then exactly on the day that I need it, there it is. It's an amazement to me. Maybe it'll work the same way in your own library as you start to add books to your library. But certainly out of the encyclopedias and other works from other books, from the footnotes, from their textual bibliographies, from the indices at the back of the books, from their appendices, it'll help to guide your studies. Rising up above that myopic little microscope and start looking at the world with a telescope, we need some real leadership. We really need to have some real thinkers coming on us in this time period. We need people that have a better understanding of things than many of those in the past. The real travail of this pluralistic, this social pluralism, you've talked about that before. If you're not familiar with it, go back, listen to the archives, or just look into it for yourself. Pluralism. I'd point to your attention to Harold J. Lasky. But this idea of pluralism, a multitude, the American Bar Association, the Association of American Law Schools, all of the various organs and bodies of the United Nations, all of the various clubs, PETA, you know, World Wildlife Federation, all of them. We're just overrun with groups and groups and groups and groups and groups. And every one of those groups have founders, and every one of those groups have faith statements and mission statements and Vision 2020 documents. And in all of this pluralism, we've become so divided that it's systemic. We can't speak with one mind in this country, and it was not done accidentally. It was done by design. We've been divided. Anyway, folks, we're all out of time for today. I thank you for listening. I will be back again tomorrow. Until then, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit tpr20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs.
TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.